Welcome to the KPMG Financial Reporting Podcast Series, delivering fresh insights and perspectives around major accounting and financial reporting developments across a range of timely topics. We thank you for joining today.
Hello, I'm Karen Silverman, a partner at KPMG. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Kathy Nguyen, a senior manager in the firm's Department of Professional Practice, about the FASB's new ASU on disclosure of government assistance. Kathy has been following this project and should be able to give us some really great insights on the new disclosure requirements. Kathy, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks, Karen. Happy to be here today to chat with you.
Great. So let's start by going through a bit of background on this topic. Could you give us some color on what we mean by government assistance and why was the FASB focused on this topic?
Absolutely. Government assistance can take many different forms, such as normal course purchases and sales, grants, tax credits, among other forms of assistance. The frequency and amount of government assistance due to the COVID-19 pandemic has certainly increased. And due to that increase, as we saw in the board's basis for conclusions, investors and other financial statement users requested that information about government assistance be disclosed in the financial statements. Now, taking a step back, prior to this ASU being issued, US GAAP provided limited guidance on the accounting for government assistance, and companies had to look at other GAAP, which resulted in diversity in practice in the recognition, measurement, presentation, and disclosure of government assistance. So for example, many companies would analogize to other GAAP, such as IAS 20 or subtopic 958-605. Therefore, the board issued this update to increase the transparency about government assistance transactions, which includes things like the type of assistance, the accounting for the assistance, and the effect of the assistance on their financial statements.
Great. Thanks for that background, Kathy. So in order to provide more concrete guidance, as you mentioned, the FASB issued a new ASU, which is 2021-10. What are the requirements of that new ASU?
Yep. So this new ASU created Topic 832, which requires disclosures about certain government assistance by business entities. So let me give you two examples of transactions that are within the scope of 832. One is a forgivable loan from a government entity accounted for under IAS 20 by analogy. And another example is a receipt of a cash grant from a government entity accounted for under subtopic 958-605 by analogy. This ASU applies to all entities except for not-for-profit entities that are within the scope of topic 958 or employee benefit plans within the scope of topics 960 through 965. And why is that? So the board decided to exclude not-for-profit entities because of the existing guidance under topic 958. And board research actually showed that employee benefit plans generally don't receive a significant amount of government assistance, which led to their exclusions in this new ASU. And now, as I mentioned earlier, many companies applied IAS 20 or subtopic 958-605 by analogy. So for example, IAS 20's disclosure requirements included disclosure for the nature and extent of government grants, the accounting policy adopted for government grants, and the methods of how they are presented in their financial statements. And subtopic 958-605 required entities to describe the nature and extent of contributed services and the amounts recognized as revenues for the period. And I will note that the amendments in this new ASU are consistent with IAS 20, but IAS 20 does also provide guidance on recognition and measurement of government grants. And so now let's fast forward to the issuance of Topic 832. The new disclosure requirements include the nature of the transaction with governments, including a general description of the transactions and the form in which the assistance was received, the accounting policies used to account for the transactions, the line items on the balance sheet and income statement that are affected by the transactions, and the amounts applicable to each financial statement line item to the extent the amounts are readily available, and significant terms and conditions of the transactions, such as duration, commitments made by both parties, other contingencies, and any other provisions that would allow the government entity to recapture the amounts they provided. So let's quickly go back to my point on the amounts being disclosed. If amounts are not readily available in the agreement, Topic 832 does not require disclosure of any future-oriented information that's contingent on forecast or other assumptions about uncertain or unknown events. So, Karen, say for example, if a government entity were to provide a cash credit based on 5% of gross payroll costs for the next few years, you'd be required to disclose the nature and any significant terms of that agreement, including the accounting policies you're applying, but there's no need to disclose the dollar amount because it's based on future payroll costs. Now, conversely, if it were a flat stated amount, say $50,000 each year, then at that point you would be required to disclose the amount and the financial statement line items that are impacted. And one other thing to consider is that in rare circumstances, when the agreement with a government entity legally prohibits specific information from being disclosed, the entity must disclose the general nature of the information and what items are legally prohibited from disclosure. And so in that instance, you'll need to really understand the agreements and may need to involve another party such as legal counsel.
Excellent, Kathy. So companies are going to have all of these incremental disclosure requirements around these type of transactions that you just went through. Are there any transactions that would be exempt from Topic 832?
Yes. So the transactions exempt from Topic 832 are those where other topics apply. So for example, Topic 606 is still applied when the government entity is considered a customer in a revenue contract, or Topic 740 is applied to income tax transactions with government entities. Also, don't forget about the scope exceptions that I previously mentioned, such as being a not-for-profit entity. In that case, you would apply Topic 958.
Okay, got it. So when does this new ASU become applicable, and what's the transition guidance for companies?
So this ASU is effective for fiscal years beginning after December 15th, 2021. So it can be applied prospectively for all transactions in the scope of this ASU and any new transactions entered into after the date of initial application, or it can be applied retrospectively. Oh, and another thing to keep in mind, Karen, is the guidance is effective for annual periods only, but it's important to highlight for SEC registrants that whenever they adopt a new accounting standard in the interim period, Regulation SX requires it provide both annual and interim period financial statement disclosures about any material matters that's prescribed in that new accounting standard, but only to the extent that those disclosures aren't duplicative with the information that was previously provided in the previous financial statements.
Okay, great. Thanks again, Kathy. So you've talked through a bunch of requirements related to disclosures, but haven't really talked about anything related to guidance on recognition or measurement in the financial statements. Is that something that the FASB is considering?
Yes, great question. This is possibly something the board would look at in the future. The board decided to focus right now on disclosures because a more comprehensive project to include, say, measurement and recognition would be more complex. And with these new disclosure requirements, it's really going to help the board understand the previous diversity in practice and also help the board determine the scope of a potential future project on recognition and measurement.
Oh, interesting. Great. Well, Kathy, this has been a really helpful summary of the standard itself. Maybe just one last question. If I'm a company or one of these business entities where this applies, what should I be focused on related to this ASU?
Another great question, Karen. There's some things I would keep in mind. First, to your point, make sure you don't qualify for the scope exceptions, meaning you're not a not-for-profit entity or an employee benefit plan. Next, take an inventory of all transactions with a government entity. Think completeness here. Keep in mind that the term government entity under Topic 832 is very broad. So it could be domestic, foreign, regional, and national government entities, but it could also include entities that are related to those governments, such as independent agencies, boards, and commissions. Then determine whether the transactions with government entities fall under other topics, such as my previous examples of Topic 606, RevRec, or Topic 740, income taxes. As you're working through the completeness of transactions with governments, definitely keep in mind if there are any matters that are legally prohibited from disclosure. Again, while this may be rare, you'll want to understand the agreements in place with government entities in detail and may involve others to help with that, such as legal. And finally, make sure to consider materiality. Even if the individual government assistance is immaterial, it might still need to be disclosed if you're receiving similar payments and the payments are material in the aggregate.
Okay, that is a great summary of action items. Kathy, thank you so much for spending time chatting about this today. Hopefully this new ASU will provide some more transparency about these types of transactions. I really appreciate your time today, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and insights with us.
Thanks, Karen. It was great chatting with you today, and I hope you found this helpful.
Definitely. If our listeners would like more information on this topic, you can find our Defining Issues document on our FRV site. Thanks again, Kathy.
Thank you for listening to this KPMG Financial Reporting Podcast. For more in-depth financial reporting developments, analysis, and podcast episodes, please visit frv.kpmg.us and be sure to subscribe today. Also, we are social. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at KPMG Financial Reporting View or with hashtag KPMGFRV.